WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Bob Balaban co-starred in the films Close Encounters of the Third Kind, Absence of Malice, Prince of the City, and Dead Bang. Balaban makes his directorial debut in the new film Parents. It's a comic horror movie set in an Indiana suburbs in the 1950s. Randy Quaid and Mary Beth Hurt star as the parents of a 10-year-old boy. They look like the perfect family, cheerful, prosperous, well-groomed. But the boy is scared by his parents. What do they do when they're alone together? What does his father do when he goes off to work? Why isn't the boy allowed in the basement? And what is that horrible, mysterious meat that his mother prepares with every meal?
What are we eating?
Leftovers, honey.
Leftovers from what?
From the refrigerator.
We have leftovers every day since we moved here. I'd like to know what they were before they were leftovers.
Well, before that, they were leftovers to be.
Eat your dinner, honey.
No, thank you.
Your son, the vegetarian.
What did you want to start directing?
I think I wanted more control of my life and things. I think I wrongly assumed that if I were directing, I could set up projects when I wanted, in the cities I wanted. And unlike being an actor, where you're basically waiting for the telephone to ring, no matter how well you're doing, somebody usually calls you. I wanted to be the person who was calling people.
Why did you choose Parents as the first film to direct?
It was the most interesting script I came across.
Uh-huh.
Now, interesting is a fuzzy word, I guess. But I began directing a couple of years ago for television. I did a pilot for Tales from the Dark Side, the syndicated series that's on now, and an Amazing Stories episode, and a bunch of things for TV. And I was at the point where, because I had some film to show and I was an actor that some people knew, I was being sent a moderate amount of scripts to direct, and they were all very much the same thing. I'd seen them a lot before, and they were all very, very securely in some genre or other, and they also weren't wonderful. I picked up the script of Parents and had a very strong, visceral reaction to it. And it really wasn't till much later on, when I was working on the movie, that I began to sit down and say, why? You know, it was just important to me that when I read it the first time, I reacted with my gut, because that's really what I had been looking for.
But now that you know the why, why don't you tell us that?
Well, I know why a little bit more. I think, as it turns out, Parents for me is somewhat autobiographical. It wasn't when I read it the first time consciously, but as I began to work on it and I began to do things to it, as directors do with writers when you're in production for something, I think that I was sort of subtly bending the whole thing over into a territory that I was quite familiar with. I said it in the 50s. I was, you know, a child in the 50s growing up then. And for me, when I read the movie, even though some people who read it thought it was basically a slasher movie, I said, no, you really don't understand. I see this as a movie very much about polite people who repress bad things and don't talk about them. And for me, that's always been a theme I've been quite interested in, and somewhat relates to my background and growing up.
Yeah, I see the movie as being a little similar to The Stepfather, that film, in the sense that this is a film about a family desperately trying to fit in and be normal, but it's all a psychotic pose.
Yeah. Well, for me, I've often been the most anxious when surrounded by very polite blue-haired ladies who serve cucumber sandwiches with the crusts cut off. I mean, you sit around looking and go, it's so perfect. When's the bad thing going to happen?
Yeah.
One club. One spade.
Pass. Marty, did you deal me this mess?
You know, you are making a glutton out of me. How do you make this?
Actually, I got it off the side of a corn chex box.
I don't believe that.
It's true.
I don't believe that.
And instead of raisins, I use miniature marshmallows. Mmm,
so good.
Oh, 2 diamonds.
A lot of the music that you use in the movie isn't horror music. It's really muzak-y hits of the period. Things like Press Prado's Apple Pink and Cherry Blossom White.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And the music becomes pretty frightening.
Well, I thought it would be...
As a lot of that muzak-y stuff is.
Well, I think it's pretty anxiety-provoking, frankly. In fact, for some of the muzak dinner music that we have playing at the dinner scenes, we couldn't afford to buy things. So we went to, because it was cheap, strangely, we went to Prague, Czechoslovakia. and had the National Prague Symphony recording things like that. It turns out that almost all of Lawrence Welk is recorded in the Iron Country because there's no there are no residual payments triggered to the people who play the music there. It's a buyout for them, and these people were experts at music, so we had hit the right place.
How did you find out about that?
Angelo Badalamenti, who wrote that part of the music, had done a lot of Blue Velvet there.
I think it was back in 1982 you knew you wanted to get into directing, so you decided to understudy Sidney Lumet on the filming of Death Trap.
Well, I had acted in the movie Prince of the City. I played a violent, horrible federal prosecutor who caused a lot of people to kill themselves. And while I was doing the movie, I've acted in a fair amount of movies, but I guess it was just the right time and the right place for me. My eyes opened widely and I went, Sidney Lumet knows how to do something here that I took for granted all the time. I always assumed the director of a movie's big job was dealing with the actors, getting great performances, and everything else kind of took care of itself. I mean, I wasn't naive about it, but I didn't realize how much the focus of a director has to be on production and production aspects. So Sidney is sort of renowned for being well-organized and beautifully prepared and very well thought out about all aspects of movie making. And when it was over, I asked him if I could apprentice myself to him, which basically meant watching him a lot for about 4.5 months on Death Trap, as you said.
Now, he had directed you in Prince of the City.
Mm-hmm.
Did his directing style look different to you when you were working with him behind the camera and when he was directing you when you were on camera?
Yes, completely. When I was an actor in Prince of the City, it felt as though Sidney only cared about the actors. It felt as though his entire focus on this production was, how am I feeling? How am I doing? Was this a good take? What could I do? What could it do to be better? He was so focused on the actors, and I thought, isn't that great? He's not like those other non-quote actor directors who are always futzing about what lens they're going to use and little unimportant things like that, which, of course, are quite crucial. When I watched him on Death Trap, I thought, he's devoting about 15% of his energy and his time to the actors. Now, when he's devoting his energy to the actors, he's giving them 100% of his attention, which a lot of people aren't able to split their concentration that way. And he gave you the feeling that he was only concerned about you. But the first thing I noticed when I was watching what he was doing on Death Trap was how his attention was focused when it needed to be on every single aspect of everything, on how long it was taking to change the gels on the lights that were hanging from the ceiling. He devised a certain little instrument whereby you could change these things without climbing on ladders to get up there, and saved another few minutes. And not just saving time, but effectively using it and organizing it. His attention was everywhere.
Let's talk about how you've been directing actors. I think you really got terrific performances.
Thank you.
From Randy Quaid and Mary Beth Hurt, and from the kid in the movie. Do you think of yourself as having a style now and working with actors? And I should say that the best-known actors here, you know, Quaid and Hurt.
And
also Sandy
Dennis.
Are playing roles really different from what you've seen them do before.
I don't know if I have a style. I guess in the few things that I've directed, as is true of most things in life, what I finally seem to be coming up with, because, you know, I'm desperately looking for a method here of working, is there is no method. Whatever gets you to the place where you have to be to do what you have to do, that's what you need to do in a movie. Some actors like to rehearse and like to talk and like to be dealt with a lot, and other actors would very much rather be left alone most of the time unless they're in trouble or unless they ask for help. And I guess it's taken me, you know, a little bit of time to get myself organized here to the point where I'm relaxed enough and paying attention enough, hopefully, to know who needs what and to be able to give it to them, because I just want to make sure that the performances get on the screen and it's no benefit to my movie or to my ego if I'm needed more or less. I really don't care. I want to do what's necessary. We had a little bit of time to rehearse for this movie, which I do think is important. A lot of the times people go into making a movie and they've never even met each other. And I've worked with people like Sidney Pollack. I did Absence of Malice. And in that movie, I realized Sidney, who has a very strong actor's background, doesn't like to rehearse, doesn't like the actors to even speak the lines before they get on the set, because he feels it takes away from the spontaneity. Sidney Lumet and other people like to rehearse the movie almost as if it were a play. Some of that is so the actors are very secure when they begin, and some of it is so you can go faster. It's much easier that way. We did kind of a mixture of that. I spoke to Sandy. She didn't like to rehearse, and so I said, fine, I'll see you on the set. We read through the movie once, and that was it.